KCRW sponsors include Searchlight Pictures, presenting the new movie, The Greatest Hits. Music takes us places. What if it could literally take you back in time? The Greatest Hits is a hypnotic journey through the connection between love, music, and memory. Now streaming on Hulu.
Please welcome Derek Vincent Smith, Pretty Lights. Well, you know, I saw you at Coachella, and that was amazing, and a great crowd. I also saw you at the Shrine a year or two ago. Actually, the wallpaper to my phone is a photo from that, actually. You're in there somewhere. You're
Thank
on the
you, Laser Shark. That's my LD in the back.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was at Coachella, I was thinking to myself jokingly, I'm like, there is no such thing as an acoustic version of Pretty Lights. You know, it's like such a big production. And I wonder if there's a downside to kind of carrying that much with you at every show.
I think that was a big factor that led me to want to create this project. I want to have music that can still be played when the power goes out, you know what I mean? And that was a big part of my thought process. And yeah, it can be stressful to always be thinking about all these different elements, you know? It's like, I want to make music, but now at this point in my career, I'm like thinking about the production of the show and like the album and the documentary, and there's just so many things to juggle and balance. It's difficult, but it's challenging, and that's ultimately what I live for.
Well, that begs the question, will you be taking a band out?
Yes. A very talented live band, and I have this idea on how to do it, how to perform live with the production and the band in a way that's really never been done before, so I'm anxious to take that out on tour and show people that idea.
Yeah. You know, do you consider yourself a musician?
Yes, I do consider myself a musician.
Well, you know, it's just interesting to see you, you know, work and you know, in this documentary.
They showed a lot more of me dancing, but there was much more working. The dancing came after, you know, the tape was rolling, and I was like, yes, it's dope.
You got some moves, man. You got some moves. You put your whole body into that.
No, I don't.
By the way, a little later, we're going to have a Pretty Lights dance contest right here.
Dance battle.
I see an SNL skit somewhere down the line. But for the radio audience, because we are recording for KCRW, and for those who didn't just watch the documentary,
that's right.
People can check it out at home on YouTube, and also we're going to put it up at kcrw.com/metropolis, so you could check it out any point.
Very appreciative.
So the film follows, you know, a 2+ year process of you to Brooklyn, New Orleans, and then back home to Denver. But I wanted to probe a little further with you on, you know, what were the real difficulties in this, besides, you know, not smoking too much. What was the hardest part of this 2+ year process for you?
The hardest part, I think, of this process was communicating to 60+ musicians, you know, each individually. Every day, new people would come in to work with. And every day, those people would be skeptical about me and what I was doing, because they're so used to, you know, they're like musicians that are used to coming in and having musical charts to follow and play every note. And like the way I was writing music was in the other room with my headphones on, like writing chord progressions and then going out there and literally going to each musician and showing them exactly what I wanted them to play. And these guys were like virtuosos, you know, they could shred their instruments, and I was really not trying to create a shredding album, you know. I was trying to create, like I said in the film, breaks, you know. I was trying to create what hip-hop producers live for and dig for and look for, you know, but my own breaks and my own style. And so it's like, it's a simple form of music, but it's a beautiful form of music where it's more about the instruments coming together in the human element and everyone like vibing off of each other and creating like this perfect moment, you know. So I was like trying to write musical moments that emulated moments in time, places around the globe, different eras, different genres, and at the same time trying to create the best musical moment of that genre, era, time period that I could, you know, so I could really make the best of it when I started producing with it.
In terms of producing and communicating with musicians, do you think you've gotten better at that process?
Yeah, I do. You know, every day got better, and by the end of it, I was like, I didn't want it to stop. Like I said, you know, it's like, every day got better and I got more confident and I was able to really communicate with these musicians what I wanted. And that confidence was communicated immediately, you know, and they knew more quickly that they could trust me and follow my lead, you know. And it's funny that in the middle of the process of making this album, I did the Regeneration Project, which you were also involved in, and I had learned a lot from my own sessions that I was able to apply to that project.
Yeah, there's a great scene in Regeneration. Anyone seen Regenerations? Yeah. There's a great scene where you're talking to Ralph Stanley, who's a country music legend, and you might as well be from Mars. You know, the dude is looking at you like you're insane.
Yeah, he's like this 88-year-old, you know, 5'1" dude, looking up at my 6'8" ass, you know, like, and I'm telling him what I want him to do, and he's like, nah, I'm just going to do it my way. And after that, we became, like, great friends, you know what I mean? And we really, we nailed it, and, like, we worked on the music together, but that was the drama that made the damn film.
It did. There's an expression you use in this documentary, your philosophy of minimalism.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to maybe elaborate a little bit on that idea.
What I was referring to was the approach I took to writing music in the studio for this project. You know, I don't consider the music I produce to be extremely minimalistic at all. You know, I layer sounds and timbres from different time periods and different genres to create something that is new and fresh and seems like it was meant to go together, but really was never intended to be that way. So the minimalistic approach really came in the studio, because when I'm, you know, prior to this project, I spent so much time, and I still do spend so much time, digging through record stores and looking for those gems, you know, those records that never left the region, you know, that never got out of Cleveland. So that was the thing. It was like if I just let the musicians play, it became a jam session.
And too much.
I was not going for a jam session. I stepped out to smoke a cigarette during one of the sessions, and I came back in, and all the musicians were like vibing and loving and playing this song that they had just kind of spontaneously come up with, and they were loving it. And I came in and I was like, oh fuck, you know, like I can't stand this. And I got on the mic and I was like, everybody stop, you know, like, when you guys want to, you know, audition for Galactic, you can go do that. This is a different fucking thing. Like, we are making, you know, like, old soul breaks. I'll say it again, man. I mean, that's what I was going for.
Well, you know, I totally appreciate, you know, your
sorry, I like Galactic, by the way. I wasn't trying to, like, it was just like, hey, that sound, you know what I mean?
And they've been around a long time.
It was a different thing.
I mean, what you're talking about is creating, you know, your own sample sources that are authentic, right? And I can totally appreciate that. But isn't there an art to sampling? I mean, just sampling, like having the ear for, you know, if you think of a street artist like a Banksy or you know, or Warhol, you know, there's something about how they take what we know. They recontextualize, if that's a word, something we know, that is what makes it profound, you know? So is there a point where you kind of go too far from the concept of just the art of sampling?
No, I mean, this was my first venture away from that, you know? It's like I had spent my career as Pretty Lights exploring the art of sampling. And it's like when I started making beats as like a 16-year-old, it was about finding a sample and putting drums on it and putting some bass on it. And I was like, oh, I made a beat. That's awesome, you know? But as it evolved, I became less and less happy with the simplicity of it, you know? It was like I felt like I did feel like I was just taking someone else's music and doing something different to it. So I wanted to make sampling much more of an art form, like you said, right? So what I did is turned it into what I dub sample collaging, you know, where I honed my skills in being able to take any sample from any record and being able to match it up with any other sample and make it work, and that is the art form, and I made 4 full-length albums and 3 EPs that are longer than most full-length albums that are all deep explorations into sample collaging in that art form. And after that was done, I was like, you know, I just want to do something new and challenging. And I look at this project as sampling, as a further exploration into sample collaging and that art form, because I didn't go into the studio writing songs, like writing a song and then recording another part over it and then writing a vocal and recording the vocal over it. I purposefully wrote things for like singers to sing over a different song than I had intended it to be on, so that I would be challenged in the same way I am when working with samples. You know what I mean? So like, yeah.
And more rewarded for your efforts.
I tried, the process was emulating the sample art form by going back and making my own samples and making so many of them and so many records and so many jam sessions and live recordings that by the time I was done with it, I couldn't remember 90% of them, you know? So it was actually like I was digging through my own little record store.
Remixes, which is a whole different thing, and you were very kind to do one for a project I produced recently.
Yes,
which is a very cool
project.
Bob Marley. And you remixed Exodus,
yes.
Bob Marley. What was that like working with the session on Bob Marley?
When I'm making a track, right, like I know it's good when I'm in the studio and I get up out of my chair and I start dancing, right, and I'm like, I'm just jamming out by myself, like making a track, you know? And with this Bob Marley remix, that happened, but I also found myself like tearing up, like literally, like Bob, I had Bob's vocal acapellas on my computer and I could solo them out and just hear his raw soul and power and think about how that changed the world in massive ways and it just, it magnified my understanding and my respect for those rare souls and those rare musicians that come along and really make the world a better place and like make us all like, you know, more conscious and aware human beings, you know.
Well, Derek, thank you for taking the time of doing this for Sonos, for KCRW. Thank you all for coming. Let's turn it over to Derek Vincent Smith, Pretty Lights.
Jason Bentley, it was a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.